Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need to update your window treatments with Window Images blinds and shades. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Plus, get them trimmed to width in-store for free. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Before we begin, I want to inform you that this episode will discuss topics related to suicide, mental health struggles, and self-harm. These are difficult subjects, and I understand that they may be triggering for some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling, I encourage you to take care of yourself, pause or skip this episode if necessary, and seek support from a trusted friend, family member, or mental health professional. Remember, you are not alone, and help is available. Donovan Cameron was a professional boxer from England who traveled to Las Vegas to train at Floyd Mayweather's boxing gym, but he never made it home. Donovan was last seen alive on the night of January 10, 2019, by his wife of 9 months. She said he was suffering from depression and killed himself, but his family believes it was murder. The U.S. and England came to different conclusions on how Donovan died, because things don't exactly add up. The only thing we know for sure in this case is that Donovan Cameron went to Las Vegas and something went terribly wrong. Who doesn't want to party down in a place that has the nickname Sin City? Most people know Las Vegas as the premier party destination. A place to have your bachelor and bachelorette party, see strippers, drink until you can't see straight, gamble with hopes of winning big, bars that are open 24 hours, fine dining, celebrity sightings, and once-in-a-lifetime shows and concerts. Vegas has it all. Let's step back in time before it became a party mecca in the desert. Before Las Vegas was founded as a city in 1905, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints chose this place to build a fort because it was halfway between Salt Lake City and Los Angeles. So when they would travel back and forth to gather supplies, they used it as a place to stop and rest. The remainder of that old Mormon fort can still be seen today at the intersection of Las Vegas Boulevard and Washington Avenue. It's been turned into a state historic park. The 1930s were a turning point when Nevada legalized casino gambling and began construction on the Hoover Dam. It's considered one of the 7 engineering wonders of the modern world. Following World War II, Las Vegas started looking more like the city we know today. Big hotels started popping up, and that brought more gambling and entertainment. In 1959, they put up the iconic Welcome to Las Vegas sign on South Las Vegas Boulevard. You really can't go there and not get a photo in front of it for the gram. There's always a long line, so pro tip, if you want the perfect shot, go early in the morning before the crowds wake up. The 1980s saw an influx of people and a huge rise in hotels, casinos, entertainment, and lots of jobs. Today, there's not much that Las Vegas doesn't have. You can partake in any kind of gambling imaginable. They have some of the world's most famous nightclubs, luxury hotels and resorts, celebrity chefs, shopping, events and conventions, pool parties, shows, concerts. The general vibe is indulgence. Las Vegas is also known as the wedding capital of the world, hosting thousands of weddings every year. They offer everything from quick ceremonies at fun-themed chapels like having Elvis marry you in a drive-through window, to lavish celebrations at luxury resorts. Let's never forget that Britney Spears spontaneously married Jason Alexander in Las Vegas after only deciding to do so that morning. Of course, it was quickly annulled, so be careful not to make any decisions in Vegas that you might regret later. What happens in Vegas does not always stay in Vegas. If you want to check out Las Vegas, but you're not the party type, there is still a lot to do. It's a good base city to use when exploring the attractions nearby, like the Grand Canyon, Red Rock Canyon, Hoover Dam, and Death Valley. There's also a growing art scene with unique experiences like the Neon Museum, which preserves vintage Vegas signs, and immersive exhibits like Meow Wolf's Omega Mart. Also, more traditional cultural attractions like the Mob Museum, Las Vegas Natural History Museum, and exhibits in the Bellagio Gallery of Fine Art. My favorite, the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum, filled with strange, unusual, and even haunted artifacts. In the fall of 2017, Zach Bagans, from Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, opened the Haunted Museum in one of Las Vegas's oldest residences. It was constructed in 1938 as a mansion for banker Cyril Wengert and his family. Several weird urban legends have been connected to the home, along with rumors of satanic rituals. If it wasn't creepy before, it is now. There's an area set up as a funeral parlor with hand-painted glass windows from the 1800s, and another room that features memorabilia and personal effects from serial killers Charles Manson, John Wayne Gacy, Richard Ramirez, and more. It's a true crime fan's must-see when you're in town. Las Vegas really is a city that has something for everyone, and it's on many people's bucket list. But Donovan Cameron went to Las Vegas for boxing. He was there to train in Floyd Mayweather's famous boxing gym. So what went wrong? Let's get to know Donovan Cameron. Hey guys, let's get real about getting older. I'm in my 40s and feel like I'm in the prime of my life, but I want to look like I'm in my prime too. And that's why I go to Dr. Rahi. She's an integrative aesthetic specialist. And when I say she does it all, I mean she does it all. She wipes out wrinkles, tightens your skin, has customized facials, non-surgical facelifts, acupuncture, helps with weight loss, nutrition, hormone therapy, hypnosis, everyday skincare, and more. Her gorgeous office is located on Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles, and she's available for consultations and appointments now. But if you're not in Los Angeles, you've still got access to the best skincare and weight loss products that really work. And it's all located at drrahi.com. Yep, no matter where in the world you are, you have access to the best skincare and weight loss products out there at drrahi.com. And for listening to The Last Trip, Dr. Rahi is offering 10% off all orders at drrahi.com if you use code BB at checkout. That's drrahi.com, drrahi.com, and use code BB, that's B-E-E-B-E, at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Check it out now, because while you're not getting any younger, you can look like you are.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Donovan Cameron was born in Gorton, Manchester, on September 30, 1987. He completed primary and secondary schooling in Northwest England and went to college briefly. But while he was there, he ended up getting into trouble and fell into the wrong crowd. His brother Clifton saw Donovan going down the wrong path and tried to help him turn things around by pushing him towards boxing. Boxing was growing in popularity in England at that time, with the rise of several high-profile fighters, increased media attention, and a solid fan base. Boxing requires a combination of physical conditioning, technical training, mental preparation, and strategic planning. Clifton saw it as a chance for Donovan to stay out of trouble, but also to make a name for himself. And it was the right choice, because Donovan was a natural boxer. He excelled at the sport and was immediately ready to go all in. After some amateur fights in England, he traveled to the United States. He first went to the U.S. in 2014 when he was spotted by trainers at Floyd Mayweather's gym in Las Vegas and invited to train there. He made his first professional debut on November 21, 2015, at the Masonic Temple in Norfolk, Virginia. He won by a total knockout in the third round against Marquise Jackson. Then on February 26, 2016, he fought Clifford McPherson at the Pendennis Club in Louisville, Kentucky, winning by a knockout in the first round. Next was April 30, 2016, when Cameron faced LJ Schultz at the Dixie Convention Center in St. George, Utah, winning again by a total knockout in the second round. He was becoming known in the boxing world and was set to become one of the greats. But August 6, 2016, was his last professional match. He fought against Nathan Petty at the National Guard Armory in Hammond, Indiana, where he won by total knockout in the first round. But this is where his boxing career ended, with an undefeated record of 4 wins and 0 losses, all victories coming by way of knockout. Donovan decided to take a break from boxing due to a combination of personal and professional reasons. Because he wasn't a U.S. citizen, he was having difficulties securing a work permit and supporting his family back home. He had a 12-year-old son in the U.K. from a previous relationship, so his plan was never to stay in the U.S. permanently. He wanted to make some quick cash and then go back to his family. He had dreams of building his own boxing gym and pursuing a career in music when he got back to England. But it didn't work out the way he planned. While he was in Las Vegas, training at the gym, he was living an expensive lifestyle that he couldn't keep up with. When he was no longer fighting, the money was no longer coming in. But that didn't stop Donovan from spending it, buying bling, hanging out with rappers and sports stars, and of course, enjoying that lavish party scene. It was during this time that he met and quickly married Andrea Miller. But their relationship was extremely toxic. And within 9 months, at the time of his death, Donovan was ready to leave the U.S. and his new bride behind and go home to the U.K. During their short marriage, there were several incidents of domestic violence with police intervention. Donovan's family claimed that his wife's father had shot at him at least twice and called him the N-word. They allege that Andrea once ran him over in her truck while saying, "If I can't have him, then no one can." Because Donovan wasn't able to work in the U.S. and the money was drying up, the couple moved into Andrea's father's house on January 7, 2019, just 3 days before Donovan's death. Let's cover the timeline of Donovan Cameron's death after a word from our sponsors. Hey guys, I hope you're all enjoying the Last Trip podcast. I'm excited to tell you about my bikini company, The Boyfriend Bikini. Now, I love traveling, especially to warm tropical beaches, and I found myself always searching for the perfect travel bikini. Something sexy, great for any occasion, and easy to stuff in my bag when I'm on the go. So I took all the best bikini ideas, worked with a fashion designer in Paris and a manufacturer in Bali to create my new swimwear company, The Boyfriend Bikini. You know that saying about how girls level up after a relationship ends? They travel more, get hotter, and start a new business? Well, that's exactly what I did. The Boyfriend Bikini is about taking control of your happiness, personal growth, and being a total girl boss. I've named each bikini after a type of man I know, good and bad, because each one helped me grow into who I am today. When you order your favorite boyfriend bikini, you'll get the story behind the man that inspired that bikini. And because you listened to The Last Trip, I'm giving you 10% off your order by using code TRAVEL. Also, a portion of all sales will go to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Just go to theboyfriendbikini.com and use code TRAVEL to get 10% off your order. That's theboyfriendbikini.com. Code TRAVEL to get 10% off your order. Happy traveling!
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
On the afternoon of January 10th, Donovan and his brother Marcel had a FaceTime call to discuss him moving home. They talked about his dreams of starting a boxing gym, making music, and reconnecting with his son. Marcel later said that everything seemed fine, normal, and that Donovan was in good spirits during the call. They were laying down some solid future plans, and Donovan told Marcel he was going to leave his wife. After that, we have a recount of the statement Andrea gave to the police about that night. She told them they had gone to the dispensary that evening, purchased some marijuana, and then returned home. Once home, they were both in their bedroom while Donovan smoked the marijuana they had just purchased. At 9:50 p.m., he asked Andrea to go downstairs and get him a glass of water. She walked downstairs, and after about 5 minutes, she heard a gunshot. She ran back upstairs to find him unresponsive with a gun nearby and blood everywhere. She said it appeared he shot himself in the side of the head. She called 911 at 9:58 p.m. When the police arrived, they pronounced him dead at the scene. In the Nevada State Police report, she told officers that he was feeling depressed due to him not being able to work in the U.S. and support his family. She also told them that there was constant tension between the couple. And although he had not been officially diagnosed, she thought he suffered from depression and was bipolar. She said that she thought he had suicidal ideation and possibly, 2 years ago, attempted to take his own life by taking pills and drinking. She also told the police that Donovan drank excessively in terms of vodka and smoked marijuana excessively as well. Andrea's father was home at the time of the shooting, but told police he was asleep in the other room and didn't hear anything. The report also indicated that there had been several domestic violence incidents, most recently in December of 2018. Donovan's brother Clifton got the call. He said that after he was informed by the police, he spoke to Andrea. In an interview with the Daily Mail, he said, "On the day it happened, Andrea seemed calm and said, for some reason, he shot himself, while her father was apparently in the next room sleeping. I just couldn't imagine that Donovan committed suicide. It does seem to me and other family members that there was a lot more going on. My brother was a bubbly, funny, powerful person with a strong mind and will." He continued, saying, "Andrea Miller was never his wife. She was not his next of kin. She said to my mother after she killed Donovan, 'Let's just cremate his body.'" The Nevada State Police investigating this tragedy reported that there were signs of marijuana use, but no signs of alcohol or tobacco use. They also reported no sign of a struggle, forced entry, or foul play. Their conclusion was that the fatal wound was self-inflicted. But Donovan's family wasn't going to accept that. There were just too many things that weren't adding up. Donovan's brother, Marcel, said, "Despite asking for a full explanation of the circumstances and the investigation, I've been provided with very little by the U.S. authorities that my brother committed suicide." And they weren't the only ones that thought something wasn't right. At an inquest in England, Coroner Nigel Meadows said he was not satisfied that evidence showed Mr. Cameron's death was a suicide or an unlawful killing, basically saying there was not enough evidence to prove either one. So they declared it an open verdict, which affirms the occurrence of a suspicious death, but they can't specify the cause. In his report, he said, "Donovan may well have had some mental health issues or had previously threatened or attempted suicide, but that does not mean he did it on this occasion. Donovan's sister, Alicia, asserts that Andrea Miller's father shot him. She describes, in some detail, a difficult relationship Donovan had with Andrea, and describes a number of text messages that had been exchanged between them. Ms. Cameron questions why the police in the USA claimed that Donovan killed himself. Why would Donovan kill himself if he was planning to come back to this country and see his children? What was the firearm? How was it handled? Was it close to the head? When did it happen? Suicide is complex, and I am simply not satisfied there's enough evidence to come to the conclusion of suicide. But I can't make a finding of unlawful killing either. It's possible that Donovan did shoot himself. It's possible, but not probable. It's possible that he did intend to end his own life. Possible, but not probable. It's possible that there may have been other explanations. And with that, we have conflicting conclusions from the US and England. So let's break down each theory after a word from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
The question in this case is whether Donovan's death was the result of suicide or murder. There are arguments for both theories. Let's start with suicide. Suicide rates tend to be higher in men due to a few different factors, which could all be used in this case. Men often use more lethal means, like firearms or hanging. Men are conditioned to suppress their emotions and are discouraged from seeking help or expressing vulnerability. It can be harder for them to open up about emotional or mental issues they're having. Men often have smaller social support networks and may use alcohol or drugs as a coping mechanism. And research also suggests that men may be more prone to impulsive behaviors and aggressive tendencies. The one thing we know for sure in this case is that a firearm was used. Donovan's wife told police that she thought he was depressed and possibly bipolar, but that he was never professionally diagnosed. We know he recently stepped away from fighting and was having money problems. Many athletes struggle with identity loss, lack of purpose, or financial difficulties after their sports careers end. The transition from a high-adrenaline, high-status lifestyle to retirement can lead to depression, anxiety, and in some cases, suicidal thoughts. Also, contact sports like football, boxing, and hockey are associated with an increased risk of traumatic brain injuries that have been strongly associated with depression, aggression, and suicidal thoughts. Donovan's wife also told police that he was using excessive alcohol and marijuana. Although there was no alcohol found at the scene or in his system, he had recently smoked marijuana. If he committed suicide, I don't think it would have been an impulsive decision unless there was a loaded gun sitting next to him and he picked it up the moment he left the room and without another thought put it to his head and pulled the trigger. But I just don't see it lining up like that. If Donovan had killed himself, he would have had to plan it out immaculately. He would have had to load, prepare, and hide the gun within reach of where he was in the room. It would have taken too long if he had to get it out of a safe, find it in the closet, or even load it. Once the gun was prepared, he had to plan a way to get his wife out of the room while they were laying down and smoking marijuana. He had to assume that asking her to go downstairs and get him a glass of water was not only something she'd do, but that it would take him less than 5 minutes to get the gun, put it to his head, and pull the trigger. This left no time for chance, no time to think about his decision, no time to consider changing his mind, and no time to pause, even a minute, to reflect on his choice. That would be extremely unusual. And while all this happened, his father-in-law was asleep in the next room. Again, this was 9:50 p.m., but he didn't wake up to the sound of the gunshot. The claim from Donovan's family that when they finally spoke to Andrea, she seemed calm and unbothered by his death, could have been her reaction to a traumatic situation in the moment, or she could have been in shock. But guys, if it was murder, the case could look a whole lot different. The relationship was extremely toxic, to the point that there were allegations of domestic violence. Domestic violence frequently precedes cases of murder, particularly in intimate partner homicides. And the most dangerous point in an abusive relationship is when one person decides to leave, like Donovan told his family he was doing. Not only was the relationship between Donovan and Andrea violent and toxic, but there were allegations that her father was also violent toward Donovan, and they had just moved in with him 3 days prior to his death. No one can truly know Donovan's mental health at the time of his death, but his wife was the only one that considered him to be depressed or bipolar or suffering mental stress in any way. His friends and family said that just wasn't the case. And when he spoke to his brother earlier in the afternoon, everything was normal, and he was making future plans to move back to the UK to be with his son and open a business. If it was murder, the couple could have been arguing because he told her he was leaving and moving back to the UK. In a fit of rage, she grabbed the gun and shot him. It happened fast, and he had just smoked some marijuana, so his reflexes were slow and he didn't have time to stop her. Or maybe her father heard them arguing again. He decided he had enough. He grabbed his gun and entered the room and shot him. Donovan would have been surprised to see her father enter the room, especially because they had just moved in there, so he may not have been able to react in time. Or it could have been premeditated. Perhaps his wife knew he was leaving her and wasn't going to let him go. She went with him to get some marijuana because she knew it relaxed him. And after smoking, she took out the gun she had hidden in reach of the bed, loaded and ready. Before he knew what was happening, she put it to his head and pulled the trigger. And of course, these are just fictional stories to point out what could have happened that night. The only people that know what happened were Donovan and his wife Andrea. But Donovan has forever been silenced, whether by his own hand or someone else's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Is Las Vegas safe to visit? Like any major city, there are areas with varying safety levels. The tourist-heavy areas, especially the famous Strip, are generally safe if you stay aware of your surroundings and use common sense. Stick to crowded tourist areas, but watch for pickpockets and bag snatchers. Practice car and road safety. And this means don't drive drunk, look both ways before crossing a street, and do it on a crosswalk. Be aware of your surroundings. I know Vegas is all about partying and drinking, but the criminals know that too. You're an easy target when you're walking down a street drunk. Watch your drinks carefully, and I can never stress this enough. You only have to take your eyes off your drink for a second for something to happen. Consider getting a drink cover. They're easily ordered online. And never take drinks from a stranger. If you think someone put something in your drink or you start to feel weird, do not head back to your room because you can easily be followed. There are lots of security and policemen in Vegas. Find one as soon as you can and let them know you think you might have gotten drugged. Marijuana is legalized for recreational use in Las Vegas, but other drugs aren't. There are people on every street corner offering any type of drug you can imagine. But please don't buy or consume drugs while you're there. Many drugs are laced with other substances, like fentanyl, which can kill you instantly. If you decide to throw common sense out the window, please bring a testing kit and Narcan nasal spray in case of an overdose. You can get Narcan at most participating Walgreens. If you're with friends in Vegas, stick with the group, but also have a buddy system. It's surprisingly easy to lose track of people with the bright lights, big crowds, loud noises, and something new grabbing your attention every 5 minutes. share your location with your friends, and have a meeting point in case you get lost. Don't carry more cash on you than you're willing to lose. And this goes for gambling and getting mugged. Let's say you only want to gamble $100, but you have $1,000 on you. The free drinks are rolling and you're mostly winning. Then you lose kind of big. But since you were just winning, you think you can win it back. You just need to spend a little more money. Pretty soon, you've lost $1,000. Las Vegas is an exciting place to let your hair down and have a little fun. Just try to do it as responsibly as you can to stay safe. I also want to discuss some tips if you're struggling with suicidal thoughts. If you're having suicidal thoughts, seek immediate help. You can contact a crisis helpline and speak with someone trained to help you in these situations that can provide immediate relief and guidance. They can help talk you through your thoughts and connect you with resources. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline in the U.S. is 988. It's available 24/7, and you can call or text that number. If you're in immediate danger of harming yourself, go to the nearest emergency room. Healthcare providers can assess your situation and offer you care. If you have access to potentially harmful objects, like weapons, medications, or sharp items, try to remove them from your environment or ask someone you trust to help you. Avoid self-medicating and trying to dim your thoughts with drugs or alcohol. Substances can make suicidal thoughts worse and reduce your ability to think clearly or make safe decisions. If you're feeling overwhelmed by emotions, grounding exercises can help you focus on the present and reduce the intensity of your thoughts. Take slow, deep breaths to calm your mind. You can use the technique, which is identify 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. This will slowly bring your thoughts back to the present moment. Once you've been able to calm yourself, try to engage in other activities to stay away from that thought cycle. Go for a walk, call a friend, get coffee, read a book, watch a movie, anything to move into a new thought pattern. Remind yourself that it's okay not to be okay. You are worthy of help and support, so be gentle with yourself during tough moments. Try to recognize that suicidal thoughts are temporary. Even though it feels overwhelming at the moment, these thoughts are not permanent. Suicidal thoughts are often a response to intense emotional pain, but with help and time, that pain can decrease. And every day is a brand new day to start over and tackle these thoughts. You can deal with one thing at a time. If you are feeling suicidal, it's important to know that there is help available and that many people have been where you are and have found a way through. Suicidal thoughts thrive in isolation. Ask for help, reach out, stay connected, and keep taking small steps towards safety and healing. If you have any information about the death of Donovan Cameron, please call the Nevada Crime Stoppers tip line at 702-385-5555 or submit online at crimestoppersofnv.com. And if you or anyone you know is contemplating suicide, please reach out and get help because your life is worth living. You can call or text 988 to reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's 24 hours, 7 days a week. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show or how, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.